Let's read together in God's Word now in Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 15 at verse 14. Romans 15 at verse 14, and it's on page 1141 in the Pew Bible. 1141. Coming to the end of this monumental declaration of Paul's faith, and in the final chapters he's been teasing out the implications of believing these great truths concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. We read now from verse 14. Paul says, "I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge and competent to instruct one another. I have written to you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering, acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have been hindered from coming to you." Thanks be to God for his word, and may he give us grace to lay hold on his truth. Now let us pray. God, our Father, we know that without the Spirit in our lives, we can never fully understand your truth. And we thank you that you have promised the guidance of your Holy Spirit to lead us to those things you wish us to know concerning your Son, and to lead us in those ways that you wish us to travel, so that we might reflect the very nature of Jesus in our lives. So bless us now as we give our minds and our hearts to your truth, and may that be the truth that shapes and molds us from within and leads us forward in the ways of Christ. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Friends, I'm sure from time to time you've either read or watched interviews with somebody who's quite eminent in their field. It might be a sportsman, it might be a great writer or an actor, someone who has made some pioneering work in fields of science and technology. And at one point, perhaps they've been asked what they consider to be their greatest achievement. And sometimes the responses to that can be quite surprising. But I wonder, in light of what we've read tonight from the letter of Paul to the Romans, I wonder how the great apostle would respond if he was ever asked what was his greatest achievement in his life as an apostle. Well, I'm sure that there are many highlights that Paul could bring forward, crucial encounters that he had with people and by the grace of God was able to turn them around to the gospel. Perhaps great missions in some of the great strategic cities in the ancient world. But I have a feeling in a lifetime of looking into Paul's thoughts and getting some idea of the man and his priorities, I have a feeling that he might be quite content to make a general statement, such as that which we find at verse 17 of our reading tonight, where he says, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. What is your greatest achievement, Paul? Well, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. Paul's whole life as an apostle was given over to serving God, and his chief motivation in that was always to glorify the name of Jesus. I glory in Christ Jesus, to the extent that Paul's inner being hungered and thirsted for more experience of Christ, to the extent that when he was struggling with what was of greatest value to remain on earth and to serve or to pass into eternity, Paul was able to say, for me to live is Christ. At this moment, I experience Christ, but to die is gain. I lose nothing if I die, because I experience more of the risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. So that was the whole motivation of Paul's life. It was the purpose of his whole being to serve him and to glorify him. I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. And what Paul is telling us in those words is that the subject of his service is Christ. The subject of his service is Christ. He tells us in verse 16 of the passage that he is a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He tells us that he has embraced the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that Gentiles, those outside the Jewish faith, can come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So always at the heart of his service, there is Jesus, because at the heart of the gospel, there is Jesus. It's one of the unique things, I think, about our faith, that we have at the center, not a series of prescriptions or propositions. We have at the center of our faith a person. It's all about this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was this person that Paul proclaimed with all his heart and all his soul. Wesley wrote a hymn which has these words, 'Tis all my business here below to cry, Behold the Lamb. 'Tis all my business here below to cry, Behold the Lamb. And the Apostle Paul would immediately make a connection with that. Because without Jesus, Paul believed that he had nothing to say to the world. Without Jesus, there was no hope for the world. Because there could be no forgiveness. And there could be no renewal. And there was no hope of a life beyond this life. Without Jesus, all the quality that he might talk about in his life, all the meaning and purpose of his life, all of that would just be evacuated. We can't talk about a quality of life. You can't talk about the meaning and the purpose of life to Paul without the Lord Jesus Christ. At one point in his letter to the church at Corinth, he said, Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. What kind of life do I have? Unless Christ is at the center. Unless I proclaim him as the way, the truth, and the life. It was all Paul's business here below to cry, Behold the Lamb. And it's interesting, I think, that when you look at the way Paul describes Jesus in these short verses and in other parts of the letter to the Romans, he always refers to Christ Jesus. Not just Jesus. You know, people sometimes say, you know, we need to bring Jesus down to earth. He was the carpenter of Nazareth. He grew up in a family. He related to ordinary people in his everyday life. And all of that is true. And it is so important. But there is more to Jesus. He's more than just the carpenter of Nazareth. He's more than just the son of Joseph, the son of Mary, and the brother of many others in his family. He is Christ Jesus. More than just a teacher. More than just a moral leader. More than a social improver. He is the Christ, the Son of God. And Paul was quite clear about that. When he was speaking about Jesus, he wasn't speaking about another guru to add to the many that existed in the Roman Empire. He was speaking of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who existed from all eternity, but became a man so that we, men and women, could be raised to the level of the kingdom of God. That was the full revelation of Jesus. And that was the full proclamation that Paul always made of his Savior. He proclaimed him in his fullness. And I think it's important for us to remember tonight, friends, as we come to the Lord's table, and as we take these signs of Jesus' presence and his love into our hands, that we realize who it is that is present here for us. It's the Christ Jesus that Paul proclaimed, the one who in this moment can forgive our sins, the one who in this moment can make a transformation in our lives, the one who in this moment can assure us of a life beyond this life, a place that he's prepared for us in glory. So when Paul says, "I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God," he's saying that the subject of all my service is Jesus. But he's also saying in these words that the source of his service is Jesus. If you look at verses 18 and 19, Paul says, "I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit." The source of everything that could be attributed to Paul's name as an achievement, the source of all of this, is the Holy Spirit of God. You can hear echoes of this in the hymn that we often sing, "How Deep the Father's Love." And there's a line there that says, "I will not boast of anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. There is nothing for me to boast about," says Paul, "except Jesus and his resurrection and the power of his Holy Spirit working in my life." So if you're talking about accomplishments, if you're talking about achievements, then I will talk about what God has done through me. There's a sense in which, you know, you almost get the impression that Paul was standing back in his ministry and watching what God was doing in the power of his Spirit. You know, I once heard that a missionary speaking about a particularly fruitful time in his ministry overseas, when people's lives were being turned around by the preaching of the gospel. And at one point, and I'll never forget this, it's a long time ago now, but he said, "You know, sometimes it's such a privilege just to stand back and watch God at work." He preached the gospel, but the Holy Spirit of God made the impact. And that is what Paul is talking about here. He says, "The only thing I can talk about is what Christ has accomplished through me as I have sought to lead people outside the Jewish faith to the truth that has been revealed in our Lord Jesus Christ." And what Paul is really saying is that, yes, he preached the message. And that was the whole purpose of his life, to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached, but he watched the Holy Spirit making the impact and turning people's lives around. And Paul laid his hands on sick people. But was it Paul who healed? Paul was privileged to see the power of God at work, healing people of their sickness. And Paul worked hard to establish a foundation for Christian communities in many of the strategic cities in the Roman Empire. It was important work, but was it done only by the sweat of Paul's brow alone? It was done through the power of God, who in his purpose saw these Christian communities being formed in these important ancient cities. You know, I suppose it might have been possible for maybe a modern journalist, TV reporter, to be investigating the life of this man, Paul, and to come to the conclusion, oh, this is some man. Look at the achievements that you can put to his name. But what Paul would respond, what he would say in response to all of this, is there for us all to see. I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I can't speak of anything except what he has accomplished through my ministry. It has all happened in the power of the Holy Spirit. I was reading an article not that long ago by a man called Joseph Stowell, who is a teacher in the Moody Bible Institute in America. And he was speaking about preaching. And he says at one point, if it weren't for the Holy Spirit who empowers us, if it weren't for the Holy Spirit who energizes God's word, I would quit today. He's talking about everything that all the influences that are working on people nowadays, all the sophisticated communication. People who are going to classes, you know, to learn how to be more effective speakers, all that kind of stuff. And he says, how can we compete with that? We can't. But the Holy Spirit can. And if it weren't for the Holy Spirit who empowers us, if it weren't for the Holy Spirit who energizes God's word, I would quit today. That's a powerful statement. But it's not just restricted to preaching and communication, friends. That has to be involved in every aspect of the church's life. That we look to the Spirit to provide us with the energy, to provide us with the power that will make the kind of impact that will advance the kingdom of God in our time. I remember years ago, you've probably heard this. I first received it as a challenge from David Watson, who was an Anglican minister, very influential before his untimely death. And he once said, you know, if God withdrew the Holy Spirit from the church today, 97% of everything we do would just go on as normal. You know, I was quite horrified at that thought. I suppose, you know, the question is, how much is energized, how much is empowered by the Spirit in the life of the church? Now, you know, if you go into that too deeply, that way madness lies, I think, you know. But it's a challenging thought, isn't it? Do we call upon the Spirit for his power? Do we call upon him for his energy? For the impact that only he can give. Paul was quite clear that the source of anything that could be laid against his name as achievement was down to the work of the Holy Spirit. And finally, Paul says that the subject of my service is Jesus, the source of my service is Jesus, and the striving of my service is Jesus. In verse 20 of our passage, he says, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I wouldn't be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I've often been hindered from coming to you. There have always been opportunities for Paul to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, to begin a new work, to lay the foundation for another Christian community. And that's why I've been distracted from coming to Rome, says Paul. Now, you might say, after everything that we've been saying about the lack of pride in Paul and all the rest of it, you might say that what we're seeing here is pride in action. You know, he doesn't want to build on anyone else's foundation. Maybe he just wants all the credit from the beginning to the end. But I believe that would be to misunderstand the great apostle. Because what he's laying down here is his motivation to be used by God in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring something out of nothing, which only God can do. Like in the beginning of all creation, when God spoke the word, and everything that we recognize as the universe came into being. And what Paul is aspiring to here in his ministry is to see something being built up from nothing. And to be part of that. And he sees this as the fulfillment of an ancient prophecy from the prophet Isaiah. Those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. People with absolutely no knowledge of the gospel, who couldn't tell you anything about the Jewish God, and who certainly couldn't tell you anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to bring the gospel into the midst of people like that, and to build up a Christian witness, to stand back and to see God creating this, that was something that Paul hungered and thirsted for in his ministry. To see God building up a work like that. And you know, I'm really challenged when I read this, when I get in touch with that aspiration of Paul. Because so often, you know, we make excuses for why our work is not having the fruit that we would want it to have. And we talk about how any vestiges of Christian tradition have been drained away from our national life. And we watch Mastermind, and even the simplest question about the Bible, nobody knows. And generations of people in Scotland only know the Lord Jesus Christ as an expletive. And we wonder, we despair at ever having any kind of impact on this. But Paul lays his hands on an ancient prophecy that those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. And how far are we prepared to move towards that promise? And to believe that the God who brought the universe into being out of nothing can strengthen his church in our generation out of nothing. To believe that this God means what he says. You know, I think there comes a point when we do have to make it clear that we are not just Christians in theory. That this is not all just interesting thoughts that buzz about in our heads and which we're able to discuss with those who might be interested. Our God has made promises, and he's calling upon us tonight to believe. And how better than to make a start by identifying ourselves with the great apostle who in so many ways can lead us in our witness in this day and generation. The man who could say that the subject of his service is Jesus, and the source of his service is Jesus, and the striving of his service is Jesus. Let's pray. God our Father, we give thanks to you that you enable us in so many ways to approach you in faith through the written word, through the preached word, through the sacrament that Jesus himself has established. And we pray that tonight, as we receive the bread and wine, that we would experience within ourselves a renewal of our strength and our vision, but most of all, our love for your Son Jesus, the one who gave himself for our salvation. And we pray this in his name. Amen.